Good morning. It's Friday, September 20th. The time is 8 a.m., and this is regional news for the Western Slope. I'm Travis Bubinick. The judge in the controversial Palo Mesa henhouse dispute rejected a motion this week that claimed he didn't have the proper authority to issue a cease and desist order for Western Slope Layers in Hotchkiss. As the North Fork Merchant Herald reports, the attorney representing the facility's operators filed a motion claiming that Judge J. Stephen Patrick had granted relief from the issue of dander and dust from the facility causing injury. The motion furthermore claimed that there was an automatic stay of the cease and desist order for 14 days and asked the judge to rescind the order and give Western Slope Layers 30 days to correct the issue. According to the Merchant Herald, the judge dismissed those claims, saying the request was without merit, but did agree the 14-day grace period was valid. The order was moved to take effect yesterday. The Denver Post reports the state of Colorado is now tracking 10 different oil and gas sites in flooded areas. Oil and gas spills in flooded areas, rather. The Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is considering two of those significant, while the other eight are being classified as minor. According to the Post, the minor spills are sheens coming off equipment and not a measurable volume of oil, but the two significant spills as of yesterday had leaked over 5,000 gallons of oil into the South Platte River and over 13,000 into the St. Vrain. The commission said those spills had been carried away by floodwaters. Colorado has a new chief recovery officer to help oversee rebuilding in the wake of massive floods. Governor John Hickenlooper made the announcement on Thursday, saying the goal is to have state and U.S. highways reconnected by December 1st. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Governor Hickenlooper says Colorado is about to embark on an epic rebuilding effort.
In addition to the lives lost and the hundreds of people injured, the damage to Colorado's roads and bridges, to our housing, and to our agriculture is daunting.
The price tag is still unknown, but according to the Colorado Department of Transportation, 200 miles of state highway have been destroyed, as well as many more local roads. Hickenlooper says Jerry Stead will coordinate the entire effort.
He is one of the most talented executives we have in Colorado.
Stead is the executive chairman of IHS in Englewood, a firm that provides information and analytics. Stead will volunteer his time. Hickenlooper says the state is racing against the onset of winter. He recently returned from a trip to visit damage along the eastern plains.
Critical roads needed to bring in crops that are about to go to harvest are completely broken apart.
Hickenlooper says it's possible Colorado will ask for more federal disaster aid beyond what will be provided by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and he's confident the state will come back stronger.
I've seen plenty of broken roads and bridges and homes, but I haven't seen a single broken spirit.
State officials are still calculating damages, and FEMA is actively working to get flood victims into more stable housing. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
According to the Denver Post, state transportation officials said on Wednesday that millions of dollars in aid flowing into flood-damaged areas would be just a starting point for rebuilding roads and bridges. The state is expected to use all of its $100 million emergency fund for road and bridge work. The Federal Department of Transportation has also given $35 million towards those repairs. Still, the Post reports some communities may have to wait as long as a year before roads reach their towns again. CDOT officials hope to have crews working on the hardest-hit roads by Monday, with U.S. 34, 26, and Colorado 72 and 119 being top priorities. At least 50 bridges have been completely destroyed or severely damaged in the floods. Initial damage estimates from federal officials put the total cost of road repairs in the state at $40 million, with bridges expected to cost another $112 million. CDOT spokeswoman Amy Ford said those estimates were, quote, just the starting points, adding the full rebuilding process would be an epic job. Colorado regulators say a Williams Energy subsidiary violated state law in connection with a natural gas liquids leak near Parachute. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports the State Department of Public Health and Environment found that Bargeth LLC released hazardous materials into the environment without a permit. That leak reportedly came from a pressure gauge on a pipeline leading from the company's gas processing plant. High levels of the carcinogen benzene were found in groundwater and some small amounts measured in Parachute Creek. According to the Sentinel, the creek has been clear of benzene since August. Meanwhile, state officials cleared owners of the property where the leak occurred, saying WPX Energy wasn't at fault. That's after the State Oil and Gas Conservation Commission in March sent a notice to that company alleging it had violated rules. That allegation was closed last week. Bargeth officials claim the type of liquids released in the leak don't fall under the Hazardous Materials Division's jurisdiction. Still, the company's decision to sign a consent order with the state means they won't protest the issue. The Sentinel reports the consent order doesn't carry a fine against Bargeth, but does allow other state agencies to pursue their own fines. Officials say no fines are being attached to the spill because it was non-intentional and not the result of negligence. Most of the order outlines requirements and schedules for the leak's cleanup, followed by a long monitoring period. And the Montrose Daily Press reports Olathe Police Chief Rick Hawk has been put on administrative leave pending an investigation. Yesterday, officials declined to offer any additional comments on the matter. Montrose Sheriff's Department Lieutenant George Jackson will take over as police chief for the duration of the investigation. Stay tuned for the KVNF Sports Report from Eric Gould. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubinick.
Greetings and good morning. This is Eric Gould with your KVNF Sports Report for Friday, September 20th. High school football teams from around the listening area have their last non-league games this weekend. Tonight's featured contest will be at 7 o'clock in Hotchkiss, where the Bulldogs play host to undefeated and 6th-ranked Monta Vista. Hotchkiss is 2-1 after last week's 43-0 drubbing of Del Norte. The Bulldogs scored on 5 of their first 6 possessions and were never really challenged against the Tigers. Junior Devin Roop threw a 12-yard touchdown pass to Hank Edwards, and Roop also ran for a Bulldogs score in the win. Alex Smith continued his fine season with 133 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns, and Duncan Turnbull chipped in with 90 rushing yards for Hotchkiss, now ranked 4th in the state, according to a Denver Post poll. Paonia dropped to 2-1 after a 27-14 loss last week against a very strong Centauri squad. Taylor Walters scored on a 9-yard touchdown run and also threw a touchdown pass to Logan Schopp for the Eagles, whose shorthanded defense was not able to contain a potent Falcons passing attack. Paonia also had breakdowns in special teams and gave up an 83-yard punt return touchdown in the loss. Paonia goes on the road for the first time tonight and plays at Dolores. Defending 1A state champion Cedar Edge gets a much-needed week off as the 3-1 Bruins prepare for next week's huge rivalry game against Hotchkiss. Cedar Edge rolled to a 42-0 victory over Dolores last week in the Bruins' first home game of the season. Xander Camp had 2 scoring runs in the game, and quarterback Trent Walker ran for 2 touchdowns and threw for another in the dominant win. Cedar Edge is ranked 3rd in the state, according to a Denver Post poll. The number 3 team in 4A is Montrose, and the Indians are poised for what could be a special season. Montrose beat Pueblo West 23-14 on the road last week and improved to 4-0. Mike Rocha and Nick Foster had rushing touchdowns, and quarterback Cameron DeVincentis threw a touchdown pass to Ira Wooten in the victory. The Indians host Hinkley tonight in Montrose. Not to be forgotten are the Delta Panthers, off to a terrific 2-1 start after a 35-14 triumph at Eagle Valley last week. Cade Gafford threw 2 touchdowns to Devin Williams, and Tyler Sandoval toted the rock 10 times and scored twice in the Big Panthers' victory. The Panthers play Moffitt County at 7 tonight in Delta. In girls volleyball, Paonia continues to roll and is undefeated at 7-0. The Eagles are ranked 4th in the state. After surviving its first real test in a 5-game thriller against Meeker, Paonia went on to sweep Hotchkiss 3-0 last Tuesday. Carson Pfeiffer led the way for Paonia with 16 kills, and Easton Hardigan and Jesse Holt registered 7 kills apiece for the Eagles. Morgan Hardigan and Taylor Karsten were strong defensively for the Eagles, posting 11 and 10 digs in the solid victory. Paonia is on the road for a conference matchup at North Park tonight. Stay tuned for more sports reports on Fridays here at KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. This is Eric Gould for KVNF, saying good luck to all the teams in the listening area, and thanks so much for listening.